What debate? There is something terribly plastic about American presidential debates these days. The chalky faces of the U.S. President, George W. Bush, and his Democratic challenger, Senator John F. Kerry, reflected the makeup applied to both men, but like that makeup, their positions looked equally thin. Although both strove for a rhetorical shot, in fact, neither said anything that hasn't been said 1,000 times in hundreds of cities and villages. What passes for debates today is little more than repetition of previously broadcast commercials. The so-called debate was an exercise in sublime simplicity in a world that is growing in complexity. Welcome to the sanitized debates prepared by the corporate masters of the political class. Platitudes, quips, sound bites, and pounds of rules to drive out all spontaneity. Does anyone really think anything said on stage in Miami would drive someone to the polls? Bush strove mightily to not trip over his proverbial tongue. Kerry sought to reassure viewers that he would strengthen the most powerful imperial army on earth. This won't thicken any history books with anything uttered in the blinding glare of Klieg lights. This commentator recently read a brief account of the 1858 Lincoln-Douglas debates, where the two men set the stage for the emergence of Abraham Lincoln and the newly founded Republican Party. Stephen A. Douglas and Lincoln were running for the Senate seat from Illinois. Although Lincoln lost the Senate race to Douglas, his debates impressed so many people across the nation that 2 years later he would be nominated for president on an anti-slavery ticket. In those days, debates were verbal battles where candidates jousted with their opponents, and barkers would repeat the speaker's words to folks on the outer fringes of the throng. In those days, people spoke openly about their positions, and their comments would seem somewhat crude to many of us today. Douglas, the Democrat, spoke openly about his support for white supremacy, and people would chant, white men, in the midst of the debate. Douglas, speaking of Mexico, which was on many minds because of the recent Mexican-American War, warned his supporters, this amalgamation of white men and Indian and Negroes would cause impurity of white blood. That kind of political debate would poison American political debate for the next century and a half. That said, it was not a nice, sweet, sanitized debate. It was raucous, intense, emotionally charged, and designed to attract the attention of the then all-white electorate. It wasn't boring, that's for sure. If Kerry sought to deepen and broaden his political base, it's doubtful this happened. If Bush sought to deepen and broaden his political base, it's unlikely this occurred either. Americans could survive a debate where two or more men and women talk to each other. There is no earthly reason why this can't be done. The intentional dumbing down of American politics and media coverage does not bode well for American democracy. Americans waged a revolution against princes. There's no need for them to sit in respectful silence when politicians speak. If this was a debate about foreign affairs, it must somehow be possible to discuss the deep structure underlying the core of American politics, imperialism. No major political candidate in the last 60 years has dared question the existence or growth of the U.S. empire. This means that no matter who wins, the Imperium wins, and the U.S. military continues to march abroad to carry the latest ridiculous standard, like the war on terrorism. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.